This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The U.S. Senate busily deliberating its tax overhaul bill. The measure has moved swiftly through the chamber, but yesterday it hit a snag after the Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation reported that the plan would add $1 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years. Senators are expected to vote on the measure today. Meanwhile, the White House is reportedly developing a plan to oust Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in the coming weeks and replace him with CIA Director Mike Pompeo. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty this morning to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia. What does that mean for the special counsel's probe into possible links between Russia and the Trump campaign? Here to talk about that and much, much more, Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. And I think you buried the lead. I think that Mike Flynn stuff is extraordinary and potentially very consequential.
It's all happening today. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. It's all happening this morning. The tax plan, of course, very big, obviously with the biggest tax overhaul in decades. But let's talk about this because we've had hints that Flynn was cooperating. He broke contact with the White House, his legal team. That suggested something. But today, the second shoe dropped. He pleads guilty.
Absolutely. And when you think of the other people who worked in the administration, the Paul Manafort, the George Papadopoulos, but this is a big one. Mike Flynn was there with Trump from the beginning. He was working with him from the beginning of the campaign through the transition and even into the actual once Trump was sworn in, because he was National Security Advisor for 2 weeks. So, the White House dismissed Manafort and said, well, he was only, the campaign manager for a short time. And George Papadopoulos, well, he made coffee and we didn't even know who he was, even though he was in these meetings with Jeff Sessions and President Trump. But Mike Flynn was there, and now the latest story is that ABC News has reported that Flynn has told Robert Mueller, or is planning to tell Mueller, that Trump told him to make these arrangements, these deals, these conversations with the Russian government. And that's big stuff. When we're talking about collusion or anything like that, Mike Flynn seems to have that evidence if it exists.
All right. And so that we'll have to keep our eye on that. A big story this morning. But the other big story that's been evolving and very quickly is this tax plan. Senate leaders finally had one under their belt. They were finally going to get something to happen. And then last night, the Joint Congressional Committee on Taxation says, this is going to cost you an extra $1 trillion, don't you? And everything went on hold. Tell us where we are now, right now, in the
tax. And I don't know why it went on hold, because we knew from the beginning, every calculation that came when they looked at the Senate numbers, they said it would add $1 trillion, if not more, to the deficit. And all these deficit hawks, like the Ron Johnsons of Wisconsin and the Bob Corker of Tennessee and others, said, well, something, we're on the fence about this because we may not vote for something, considering the fact that we are fiscal conservatives. We campaigned and got elected as fiscal conservatives. But then yesterday, John McCain, who complained about the Affordable Care Act overhaul, remember the replace and repeal, he said, he did that famous thumbs down on it because there were no hearings. The American public was not informed about this. And yesterday he said he would vote for it, which I thought was very, very interesting and very instructive, given the fact that there have been no hearings on this whatsoever. And then you had Ron Johnson and Bob Corker and the Senate Budget Committee. They voted for it, even though they complained about the deficit. So right now the vote is still scheduled for today. I still think it's going to pass with the votes they need. Maybe you need Mike Pence's tiebreaker. I don't know, but I don't think there'll be more than two. I've been wrong before, but I kind of think, look, Trump wants this desperately. Mitch McConnell wants it desperately. The question is, first of all, the Democrats have proven, have argued, and they may be correct about this, that this will hurt the middle class. This will not result in tax fairness and tax breaks for the middle class. If anything, it'll help the wealthy and the corporations. So there was a lot of blowback on it. The polls show it's very unpopular.
Well, that's the thing. I want to stop you right there again, because it was the same thing with ACA and now this. We must do something. And what we're going to do is something the American people don't want, by golly, because the American people have said we don't like this tax plan, even though there's been precious little deliberation over this. Enough is out there to tell the American public this has helped rich people and not us, or at least that's their opinion reflected in the polls. Why push this thing if people don't want it?
you know something? We've had the same exact conversation during the healthcare vote that failed, and I agree with you. 100% is exactly, if it's so unpopular, how do you go to the American people and say, look, we accomplished something, and how is that a political benefit if what they accomplish is going to hurt the middle class? So the Democrats are, you know, ready to strike back in the 2018 elections. And, of course, there are other things coming up in the near future about perhaps a possible shutdown of the government. So we don't know what it means except for the fact that the Republicans are so desperate for victory. Look, they're rewriting the bill as we speak right now to get those final wavering Republican senators on board. It's, I mean, you know, the last time we had this kind of tax overhaul, 1986, it took 11 months of hearings and rewritings right. In public, and now it's just done, you know, just within seconds to spare because they have this artificial deadline that they have to get it passed by today.
Months of deliberation back in 86, the last time we had anything close to this in terms of the impact. Months of deliberation and bipartisan support, albeit the Democrats cowed by the power of the Republicans by 1986. Still, right. It was bipartisan support. So, yes, we will wait and see whether or not the political impact of this is an actual backlash when they get something done that the American people at this point, at least as judged by the polls, don't seem to want. Hey, let's talk about this administration now, this plan that's floating around. That shows that Tillerson is out at State, Pompeo is in, and Cotton would be in at CIA. What does all this mean?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, Rex Tillerson, I mean, it was in the cards for a long time that he was on the outs with the president when Tillerson was in Beijing trying to talk to the Chinese government about what to do about North Korea. Basically, Trump undercut his own Secretary of State with a tweet saying, you're wasting your time. The only way we're going to get little Rocket Man, as Trump likes to call him, you know, is with more threats. So clearly the president's view of Tillerson's support for diplomacy was not the winning strategy. Clearly Mike Pompeo, the very hawkish head of the CIA, who's much more in line with the president, if this happens, of course, Tillerson today said he called the New York Times report laughable. That's what Tillerson said today. But the New York Times wouldn't put it on the front page if it weren't at least possibly likely to happen. And apparently it's Chief of Staff John Kelly is the one who's behind all this, saying that this is what, you know, we like to think of John Kelly as one of the adults. But when you take out Tillerson, who's a moderate or even a sane person on when it comes to foreign policy, and put it in a really right-wing hawk like Pompeo, it changes a lot of things. Frank, I know we're rushed for time, but there's one thing I want to say before I forget. We were talking about Mike Flynn. There's a fascinating article on the front page of the New York Times today that said that Trump has urged Senator Richard Burr to end all the investigations into the Russian interference. And to me, if that's not obstruction of justice. I mean, Trump has urged Burr, who's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, to end this investigation now. I mean, my goodness.
Well, and Burr also acknowledged that Trump was talking to other members of the committee and saying
right.
the same thing.
And also McConnell and Blunt and others, right.
That's right, urging an end to this thing. Now, what Burr has said is that was just somebody who's a little inexperienced with government, and all he was saying was, come on, let's get this thing, you know, over with as quickly as possible. And Burr's response, according to the piece, was, look, as soon as we've talked to everybody, we'll be done. But, I think there's certainly grounds for investigation there.
But so to Burr's credit, he came forward and told people that the president tried to get him to stop the investigation.
And said that he made sure that, or at least made it clear to the staff people and others on the committee, that when the president talks to you, you talk to me, and we all acknowledge that this has happened because, yes, absolutely, this right. would appear to be obstruction of justice. What do we talk about next? Listen, I want to talk about the Twitter activity, Trump's tweet, Islamophobic retweet of a right-wing extremist group in Britain. He thought it was good policy. The rest of the world, not so much.
You know, the two things, I mean, this is done in the scheme of things, I don't know how important this is, but one, having this ceremony, this solemn ceremony at the Oval Office with Navajo code talkers for veterans from World War II, and for him to do a little Pocahontas swipe at Elizabeth Warren, I think was beyond the pale. And then President Trump retweets this video from this far right extremist group in Britain, anti-Muslim tweets. That everybody in Britain said this has gone so far. Even the right wingers in Britain said that the president was really way out of his league by by retweeting something like this. And then when Sarah Huckabee Sanders is asked about this, she was told that maybe the videos are not real. She says, well, it doesn't matter if they're real or not. The point is that there's Muslim extremism in the world. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore what's real or not. It's just as long as we can get a message across.
Well, we'll see about that. One more item I really want to talk about very quickly. Earlier this month, bipartisan group of lawmakers introduces a bill to overhaul the sexual harassment complaint process on Capitol Hill, which is shrouded in secrecy. Tell us more.
Well, you know, for all these years, I mean, we found out that Congress has meted out $15 million in payments for those who have accused members of Congress for sexual harassment and other things like that. It's always been secret. And now with all the Harvey Weinsteins and all the things that are coming out in the entertainment business, and now politics, John Conyers, Al Franken, and certainly Roy Moore in Alabama, who may be elected in 2 weeks to the Senate. I'm not saying that everything that Franken and Conyers and Roy Moore are accused of are the same, but it's going on. It's been going on for a long time in Congress, and now they're going to open up the system, saying that one, everybody in Congress and their staff has to go through this sexual harassment training, but more importantly, it will no longer be a secret process that when a congressman or woman is accused of sexual harassment or worse, this would not be shrouded in secrecy.
All right, Ken, we'll stay tuned. Thank you so much, as always. Ken Rudin, the political junkie. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we're going to break down the winners and losers of the GOP tax plans, and we'll do it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.